We are on the air. Welcome to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting of September 17th. We please have the roll call.
Chair Wolf here. Director Banks. Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Committee Chair Peterson.
Here.
Committee Chair, we have quorum.
Yeah, I must have an old list. Okay. I don't know if there's any public comment.
My public comment is it's banana bread with cons and some air.
The important's pretty good. Pass it down.
You said cons.
All right. There being no public comments, the next item is approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration and Operations Committee meeting held on August 20th, 2014. Were there any changes or corrections to those? There being none, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Any additional items? I don't believe we have any additional items. Christy is going to join us in progress. She's on the way.
She flew in from a conference in Boston last night, so I know she got in late.
So what I think we'll do is, I think, Paul, we're going to go to you for the Displays of Waste System Militia video presentation.
Yes. Thank you. As many of you know, the Des Plaines Oasis was removed over the summer to allow for a fourth lane to be added on I-90, the Jane Ave Memorial Tollway from O'Hare Airport all the way out to the Elgin Toll Plaza. We know that's going to help us reduce congestion on that route, increase driver safety by accommodating up to 30,000 more vehicles daily. We've removed the over-the-road portion of the pavilion. There will be further impacts to the Oasis as we complete our Elgin O'Hare Western Access $3.4 billion program. But for the time being, the Des Plaines Oasis fuel stations are still open for business and the convenience store operated by 7-Eleven to provide services for both eastbound and westbound travelers along 990. So, we have a short video. It's 36 seconds long. I don't usually do presentations in front of people with bricks, so I hope you received it well. And I'm going to provide some additional commentary. It's a pretty neat video. The roof removal began in July. As the roof was being removed, workers also began the process of removing the 6-foot by 12-foot window panels that we had on the building. During the process, the pavilion was wrapped with a thick wire mesh curtain wall to prevent any debris from falling on the roadway below. Also, as a precaution, we had temporary lane closures on the roadway while the pavilion windows were removed. They were carried out through the inside of the structure. Next, we started on the superstructure and the roof beams and the columns, followed by the bridge deck and the floor planks. We did have to remove 22 67-foot-long precast concrete beams that were holding everything up. They each weighed about 65,000 pounds. This was done over 3 nights. We did the 11 beams in over the eastbound direction first, and then 11 over the westbound direction. We used temporary 15-minute full road closures while we took the beams off with the help of state police there. Extra daily coordination was required with O'Hare and also with the FAA, that's the Federal Aviation Administration, because we're using trains in that area, so they're very sensitive to that. Our communications department also provided regular updates to all of our customers so that they would know how the progress of the work was going on. The next steps for this $4.1 billion project are going to include some site restoration and also get ready for the widening work that's going to come next year. To date, the contractors recycled 100 tons of steel off of this job and 4,000 tons of concrete. This project will be complete by the end of the year, and I wanted to thank our project manager was Ed Flores. The contractor was Passion. The construction manager was Transsystem. The corridor construction manager was AMEC. They really did a nice job. Obviously, they got the work done safely, efficiently, apparently, very quickly.
That traffic continues to move. That's amazing. You don't see very many backups at all. I know they had a couple 15-minute road closures late at night, and a lot of the work was done late, but it's amazing to watch that traffic continue to move during all the demolition.
Yeah, that's what struck me, too, Director, when I was first looking at it. And I I was talking with the project manager before I came up. They said they did dry runs for all the activities because they really wanted it to go smoothly and safely. And the first closure lasted 14 and a half minutes, and then every time they took another beam off, they got better and better, so they got it down to like only 13 minutes when they had to stop traffic and take the beam off. And that, we use that same process when we do demolition for all the other over-the-road structures. We have a lot of these bridges being removed and replaced on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. In fact, we did 24 in the western section. We're going to do 24. We've done 16 so far, or 17. But I really like the video.
Well, most importantly, we could be sitting here talking about something bad that had happened. So yes. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody, well.
Everything went well. Good.
Speed efficiency.
So a word about the bricks in front of your, yeah. your chairs. It reads, from bricks to building blocks, from serving customers to driving the future. The Plains Oasis, 1959 to 2014. There are bricks from the Oasis to commemorate the end of an era.
Thank you very much.
Very neat.
So we can throw them or we can use them as doorstops.
Yes.
Thank
Paul
you.
Said he's a little afraid of bricks in front of them during the presentation. Mike, do you want to introduce the next presentation?
Sure. John Donato, our Chief of Procurement, is going to talk to us about some continuing efforts on procurement initiatives. As you recall, we had some procurement challenges, and we continue to face procurement challenges. John has introduced a couple of programs to alleviate those problems. The latest is job order contracting, and he's going to tell you about a contract that we're going to consider today.
Okay, thanks, Mike. So it's kind of rough going after Paul with that nice presentation. He's giving out the handout of the bricks. Of course, I don't have one. So hopefully no bricks, come my direction during the presentation. So thanks again, Mike. So as Mike did state, the board, you guys are aware of a lot of procurement challenges that we've had the last several years. And just to revisit, an old slide, I thought I'd just give you a little bit more detail some of those challenges. So, one of them is the procurement process itself. Typical invitation for bid or IFB, awarding a procurement to the lowest bidder, takes on an average 6 to 7 months. Typical request for proposal or RFP, where you're scoring vendors on a technical basis and their pricing as well, 9 to 12 months. And then a potential conflict of interest process can take up to 75 days for a vendor to get vetted through that process. It just strikes me, I think back in 2012 when we were going through our bond underwriting procurement, and we had to wait very long for several of those firms to clear that process. So those are some of the processes and the challenges that we were dealing with. And we also, during that time, we also had 88 expired contracts in 2012. So although that's a high figure, we didn't have any interruptions out of the system. So we did, to mitigate some of those issues, we put small purchases in place to cover any immediate concerns or lack of certain resources. And today it's much better, which I'll talk about further along in our presentation. Emergency contracts. So because of the procurement process is taking as long as it is today, or was and is, we had to extend several contracts, which you still see today. We may ask for like a 90-day extension, and one will, I think, be later on in the agenda. And these 90-day extensions allow us to complete a procurement process that we're already involved in. And sometimes we start the process on time, but we may have a protest or some other issue that comes in at the back end, and because of that issue is occurring, we can't execute the contract. So services need to continue, and the only way to do that is to extend our current contract while we complete that process. Well, the state considers those 90-day extensions emergency contracts. So we've definitely had our fair share of emergency extensions, in the last couple years. So I just thought I'd remind everybody about that. And, what have we done to mitigate some of these challenges up here? Well, earlier this year, I believe it was in January, I presented some targeted goals that we put on ourselves for this year. The first one is, you're going to be an item that I'm getting in full detail later on, is job order contracting, also known as JOC. So that's our That's our service base with a focus on facility-related projects. Vendor managed inventory, VMI. It was implemented during the first quarter of this year and is our goods base providing fleet-related parts and supplies for our fleet here at the tollway. The Illinois Procurement Gateway, IPG, also known as the Vendor Portal. Most people know it as the Vendor Portal. That's actually an initiative of the CPO's office, and that went live in the beginning of August. So that system allows businesses to register once, and during that process, they complete all of the state's required forms, including their financial disclosures. So again, I think I said in the last slide, it could take up to 75 days for a business to get vetted through that disclosure process. Well, with this gateway, what happens is businesses, when they register with the gateway, they complete their disclosures and all of their paperwork one time, right? So once the CPO's office gives them the green light and clears them, they're good to go. So in Paul's world, he has several engineering firms that will submit multiple statements of interest on different PSBs. And instead of going through that disclosure process here at the agency, which on every procurement that they submit a statement of interest on, they just send us the registration number that's in the vendor portal. Our staff then goes to the vendor portal, we download all the required forms and put it in the file and move forward. So that vendor then does not need to go through that long disclosure process. So that is definitely going to be a huge benefit that we're starting to reap already, but the key is making sure all the vendors go to the portal and get registered. Okay. Some vendors who may only bid on one project a year or so, they may not see a good need or benefit for them to get registered in the system, but we are encouraging everybody to do so as that speeds up the process. So expiring contracts, I think I said we had 88 in 2012. Well, we reduced that number by 59% compared to that figure, and we're continuing to lower that number as each month goes by. Reverse auctions. So we're working hand-in-hand with our CPO's office to pilot this method, and we are awaiting further guidance on the next steps. Albeit, I think the next step is they have a solicitation that they're currently reviewing right now. It's their e-procurement tool that will be up for all the goods and service-based agencies that will utilize the system. And it's my understanding that there will be a module in that system that will be able to facilitate reverse auctions. So we think that will be something down the road that we will want to try, hopefully later this year. Okay, JOC. So let's dive into JOC. What is JOC? So JOC is a unique indefinite quantity type of contract to perform facility-related projects with a single competitively bid contract. So with JOC, there are two phases or procurements that comprise of this initiative. So the first phase is the selection of a program administrator who is responsible for creating, implementing, and administering the JOC program. So similar to a construction manager providing oversight on a roadway construction project, the JOC administrator will have oversight of our whole JOC program here at the tollway. They will also be responsible for preparing a contractor task catalog specifically tailored to the needs here at the tollway, providing marketing support and outreach to ensure that the vendor community is aware of this initiative, and providing a web-based application which will track all of the JOC projects and will document all the diversity participation as well. So that's the first phase. The second phase is the selection of the actual contractor or contractors to perform the projects that are identified by the tollway. So this will be accomplished through an invitation for bid, which the program administrator will assist the tollway in preparing. So once the JOC program is fully implemented, we expect to gain efficiencies. For example, when the M1 salt dome was struck and compromised earlier this year, we had to enter into an emergency procurement to repair the damage. So with JOC in place, we would task the JOC contractor to repair the dome, and we wouldn't have to enter into the emergency procurement. It saves time, there's efficiencies, and again, it's competitively bid. So again, with JOC in place, we'll have fewer individual procurements to manage so our buyers can focus on other priorities in the tollway. This will enhance our diverse participation. Currently, most of our facility-related projects don't have much diverse participation. We anticipate that the phase two procurement will have a high diversity goal, which will provide diverse vendors more opportunity to work on projects here at the tollway. Okay. So what are some jock examples that we may entertain? First one, HVAC equipment repairs. You may remember, I think it was in the summer of 2013, our HVAC system went out at Plaza 61. And of course, it went out during the period when we had, I think, 95, 98 degree weather. So we had to enter an emergency procurement to have a vendor come on site and repair the HVAC system at that plaza. Again, with jock in place, we task that contractor to repair the HVAC system. They go out there, it's repaired much more efficiently and in a more cost-effective manner as well. Some other bullets, what other projects that we can use jock for. One that comes to mind is the third bullet, roof and other building-related projects. Well, as you know of our skylights here, we want to do some repair work to our skylights. We went through a procurement process twice, wasn't fruitful at all, didn't get any interested competition. So that's something we do plan to task to our jock contractor down the road. And the last item I do want to draw attention to is limited roadway projects. Again, the intent here is not to build a road or to perform any major construction projects. But for example, if a truck takes out maybe 50 or 100 feet of guardrail on, say, the Reagan Memorial Tollway, and our roadway maintenance department is busy with other related projects, we can task our jock contractor to go ahead and repair the damaged guardrail. Again, it's something that we have access to. Think of jock as another tool in our toolbox that we can use for any of these projects and then some. So who's using jock? Jock has been around for over 25 to 30 years. I thought, you know, I would list these agencies. There's many more than what's listed here. I listed the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission because they're kind of similar to the tollway here. But outside of the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission, here's some of the local entities on a bigger scale that perform this jock-related program. City of Chicago, Cook County, CTA, Naperville, Lake County, and the University of Illinois system. And we are very excited to bring jock here to the tollway. So timeline, where does this take us? So as you see, we're looking for board approval this month for our program administrator, and we hope that that will take place this month. So once the award will be granted, we hope to execute a contract and finish negotiations with the administrator by November of this year. And then once the administrator is on board, we hope to issue an IFB for the actual jock contractor solicitation in January of next year. You know, bids come due February. Hopefully we'll be able to go to the board and recommend a contractor or contractors in April of next year. And then execute and start implementation of the jock program, fully implemented program, in June of next year. So that's jock in a nutshell. You know, and I do want to thank Christy and Mike for all their support with this initiative, because, you know, similar to vendor managed inventory, VMI, this is just another initiative that makes a good procurement department great. And we're looking for other ideas to streamline our process and be more efficient. Any questions?
The first page, the first slide, you referred to the procurement challenges. How will those be, the duration process, how will these be reduced? In what capacity?
So that's the typical time frame, even of our current environment, right? So I guess the point is, when we have this jock contractor on board, and say for every project, instead of going through 6 to 7 months or 9 to 12 months for each of those individual projects, we will have this jock contractor on standby, so we don't have to go through that process and tell the jock contractor to go ahead and repair our HVAC system, or we have a plumbing project we want to take care of. So it reduces the number of procurements that we have to go through that are competitively bid already.
Okay. Well, this new jock program will help you to mention about the raising the visibility or market from a marketing standpoint. Will we get more bids and more solicitations on these? Do you foresee that as far as the marketing standpoint?
Here's how it works. So phase one, again, is just the program administrator. That's the vendor who sets up the program, which I'll be presenting in a few minutes. But the second phase is the more challenging procurement, where we select a contractor or contractors. So I think as of right now, we have in mind that we want to select three major contractors, right? And this is something that the program administrator will help us through, because they have all the experience in this game. So once we hire the contractor or contractors, you know, that's going to be our core team for the next several years to implement this. So we're not going to issue competitive solicitations for all the work. This is already competitive, right? But what we are going to do is make sure that the JOC contractor meets all of our goals that we have in the procurement. So they're going to be bringing a lot of diverse participation to the table that doesn't exist today.
Okay. And subcontracting opportunities that don't exist today.
That's correct, yes.
Will this help? Will this reduce staffing at any level at all?
No. And one of the reasons for that is that, you know, one of our sister agencies, CMS, who traditionally would perform a lot of procurements on our behalf, well, they're still creating some master contracts, but a lot of the procurements, since they have some challenges and resource issues, they're delegating a lot of the individual procurements back to the tollway to self-perform. So, you know, we thought it would be a benefit. We'd reduce the number of procurements, but at the end of the day, we're getting a lot back from CMS that we're still going to have to perform. So, no, we're not going to be able to reduce staff.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Sorry, I had to step out. In my role at City College, is familiar with the way this works, and I actually think it works extremely well. You get the right contractors, and you can bring in a lot of diverse groups, and you also have some control, more direct control over the quality, because these are people that are going to continue to do work for you unless they don't perform well, in which case you move to someone else.
Right. Well, we're definitely going to keep our eyes on them. And, you know, I'd like to also thank Dave Donovan, who's our facility manager, who spent a lot of time working with me on this program. And he's in a prior life, has dealt with this program. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to bringing this here to the tollway.
Any other questions?
Thanks, John.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, Christy.
Hi. I apologize that I was a little late, but I see you carried on without me.
We got our bricks, and we saw
Des
Plaines Oasis go down.
Oh, good.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah, it's great. It is interesting. Just a couple of other things before we move on to the main agenda. You know, I'm pleased to announce that the Tri-State Tollway Interchange Project, so the 294-57 Interchange Project, was selected as the Project of the Year by the International Right-of-Way Association. I agree. Before I started this job and we received this award, I did not know that it existed, but it does. And we've received an award as a result of the work. And as you know, that was a particularly challenging project with a lot of nuances and a lot of impact the community, we hope, good in the long term, but in the near term, we really had to deal with some challenging issues there. So I want to congratulate our team, land acquisition team, engineering team, who were a big part of that award. The tollway's efforts to overcome some of those unique challenges really are what we were told kind of set us apart in receiving that. So, yes, congratulations to none of whom are here to hear your applause, but we'll let them know. We'll go down and clap for them in their offices.
Or make them watch the tape.
Or make them watch the tape, that's right. Last week, the tollway hosted a 2015 construction preview. I know, Director, you were there, or Chair in this case. Chair Peterson, you were there. And we really were trying to provide contractors an opportunity. We really went through what we discussed at, I think, the last board meeting about the bid packages that we're going to be putting together on the I-90 project and the fact that we're going to have these options of the, you know, more traditional size bid packages as well as the larger packages. So nearly 100 people from firms involved in heavy highway construction industry, including some general contractors, subcontractors, were there on hand to hear about those opportunities, and you know, it really, I think, is going to help with the preparation for the Jane Addams work that's going to be happening next year, but particularly those contract and bid opportunities that are coming up this fall. So that's, I think, everything that I have, and I'm happy to.
I was happy to be able to attend that meeting, and they're well attended by all contractors and possible new vendors and partnering. And it's great to see them kind of mixing and mingling and talking with each other and identifying new opportunities. So it's a great opportunity and vehicle to expose what we're doing here and get people involved.
Yeah,
so.
And our diversity department and engineering department do a lot of work to put those together, so you guys always do a great job.
Good, nice job. Well done. Finance has two items today. Hi, Mike.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Finance has two items for the committee this morning. First item is approval to amend, or recommendation to amend, a resolution that we passed last month related to workers' compensation. That resolution, we're requesting that we remove the recommendation or remove the authorization to reduce the claims for prior years. We had made two recommendations in that resolution. One was for the new claim year, and one was to reduce the reserves for prior years. In the process of our accounting staff reviewing the transfer that we would make for workers' compensation, they identified an oversight in a spreadsheet that we had for our prior year claims. And when we adjusted for that oversight or that spreadsheet problem, it resulted in essentially no change, an immaterial change in the prior years. So we had actually a number of years. It goes back to 1988. The spreadsheet includes 14 or so years of adjustments. Our spreadsheet had failed to include first year and the last year. Our accounting staff identified that. When we make that adjustment, there was no change for prior years, so we regret that oversight, and we request that we remove that authorization to adjust for the prior years.
Who was the actuary? The actuarial services at
Pinnacle.
And then they didn't identify it?
Pinnacle's work. We actually took Pinnacle's work and put it
Pinnacle
into our spreadsheet. So it was our issue.
Gotcha. Okay.
So. We regret that and apologize.
We'd love to blame someone else, but it was our mistake.
And once we get our new system, it'll never happen.
Well, hopefully our new additional oversight processes will correct it even without a new system. My eyesight apparently isn't good enough anymore. So. The second item that we have is award of a contract to Law Enforcement Systems LLC and Harris & Harris Limited for the purchase of or for the award of collections and collection litigation services in an aggregate amount not to exceed $10 million, actually $5 million per firm. In response to an RFP seeking to engage two firms for collection and collection litigation services, the tollway received proposals from 14 firms. Two of those firms submitted incomplete submission, so we have 12 that we have evaluated. The proposals were reviewed and evaluated by a team of 5 members from multiple departments. 9 proposals met the minimum technical scoring threshold to be evaluated for pricing. Harris & Harris Limited and Law Enforcement Systems LLC were the 2 firms that received the highest combined score for technical and pricing. The recommended awards include pricing, which is reduced from the rates that we currently have with the expiring contracts, with the basic collection services rates declining to 10.85% of what they collect for Harris & Harris and 9% for LES. That's a reduction from approximately 13.5% to 14% previously. There's also a litigation rate for Harris & Harris, which is 12.5%. and 20% for LES. The RFP would provide for, and we're recommending, an initial term of 5 years with options to renew for an additional 5 years. So finance recommends this item be placed on the board's consent agenda.
The contract prices for all 5 years combined, right?
The 10 million, the 5 million each is for all 5 years.
All 5 years.
Can you explain how it works? We pay them and then they also get a percentage of the collections?
No,
they just receive
a percentage of what they collect.
So these are the upper limits of collections, but these aren't necessarily out-of-pocket expenses. So for some reason they overperform our projections on collections, we would come back and need to adjust this
increase.
That's
in this case, asking for an increase in the upper limit will probably be a good thing if we have to come back and do this.
And I don't remember, have we ever seen a report on what they actually collect and how much they make? And how it all works?
Yeah, we definitely have those reports. I don't know that we've actually presented that here in the board.
I may be the only one that's interested.
So we could certainly. Well,
you could consult with the chair and see if the chair.
We can absolutely send a report from the previous collections activity. That shouldn't be a problem at all.
I mean, we know from your budget, right, that every quarter we see that we are collecting and we're bringing in revenue, so we know there's something happening there. I'd just be kind of curious how much work they actually have. Okay, that.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Board Chairman?
Do you need to vote on the item?
Oh, yes. I guess we can take these items now as they're presented. Any objections to taking those two items under finance together? There being none, do I have a motion to approve finance items 1 and 2?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves for consent for agenda. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Rick. So good morning, everyone, again. So we have 7 items for consideration this morning. The first item is pretty much what my presentation was on a few minutes ago. This is an award of a tollway request for a proposal to purchase a job order contracting program administrator. This first procurement represents the first of 2 phases required to implement the job order contracting program. The JOC program administrator will create and implement a job order contracting system. And upon notice to proceed, the administrator will be working hand-in-hand with the tollway staff to create a solicitation that will be published in the future to select the contractors for the service. There is a 6% BEP goal, which is being met by 2 BEP certified subcontractors. And both of these subs will provide additional research and development of local labor, material, and equipment prices required for the construction task catalog. Outreach will also be conducted to ensure the industry is aware of our program. Award is recommended to the Gordian Group Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $1,280,000 for the 5-year initial term. Move on.
Questions? Yeah. Go for it.
Okay, the second item is an award of a tollway request for proposal to purchase Intelligent Transportation System, ITS, Field Equipment Maintenance. This contract provides the maintenance and support of the tollway's ITS field equipment, which operates 24/7 to monitor vehicular traffic on all tollway roads in real time. Maintenance and support will be provided on the following items: over 800 closed circuit TV traffic surveillance cameras, over 150 traffic sensors, approximately 40 dynamic message signs, 5-way motion stations, 17 road weather information systems, and active traffic management, ATM gantries, to name a few. So we only received 1 bid on this procurement, and this system is very complex, and we anticipated that we wouldn't be receiving many proposals. We held a mandatory vendors conference, and only 4 potential vendors attended the conference, including the recommended awardee. 2 of the vendors that attended said that they didn't have the required experience in the RFP that was requested. The last attendee said that they attended the conference only as a BEP subcontractor looking to develop a relationship with a potential prime to the procurement. Through a best and final offer and additional discussions, the tollway was able to negotiate an 8.5% discount from the awardee's original price. The negotiated pricing is in line with our expectations. There is a 16% BEP goal, which is being met by 1 BEP certified subcontractor. Award is recommended to Mead Incorporated in amount not to exceed $12,652,440 for the 5-year initial term.
Who currently is providing the maintenance for the system?
Mead, the vendor who awarded.
So Mead is, that's the end of the vendor.
And yeah, they've been satisfied with their performance.
They've been here for 5 years?
Yeah, how long have they been here? A little longer.
At least 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years.
So they know our system very well and have been very responsive to all the requests.
And you anticipated, you said, that we'd only have 1 bidder?
Not 1 bidder. I think we didn't anticipate many, because this ITS, our ITS system is pretty complex. And, you know, we would have liked to have 2 or 3 bids, but unfortunately, we only received the 1. So I think the other vendors, again, just stated that they didn't have the required experience that we were looking for.
And we did the outreach to those?
We did.
Spoke to them.
We were expecting a lot more than four vendors to attend the vendor conference, only four showed up.
So even if we delayed this and put it back out, it wouldn't?
It's possible we could get maybe one more, but, you know.
We'd have to change the requirements.
Yeah, we would have to change something.
We'd have to be, you know, willing to, you know, change our requirements.
And with the what's the timing on the development of any new system? It'd be after 5 years.
Well, this is primarily, I mean, this is.
This is roadway.
Yeah, it's like a maintenance for electrical systems. And it's kind of like a jock contract because we, our own internal people go out there whenever there's a problem. Like John mentioned, we have all these different components that we're using to provide security and also manage the roadway operations. So if there's an issue with any one of these components, our people go out there. If they can fix it, they'll fix it. But if it's beyond their capacity, then we will engage this contractor to come out and do the heavy lifting.
So this is the physical, literally the physical material. It's got nothing to do with
It's bodies with the expertise to do the electrical fix, and they have the ability to purchase the materials and install them for us, and they charge us for those services.
Yeah. Any further comment?
Well, congratulations if you're dealing with one vendor and it's your current vendor, you can still get them down by 8%.
Yeah, it was an interesting discussion, I will say that, but we were happy with the discount. Jenny? Okay. The third item is an amendment to increase the upper limit in our web-based web-based plan room and on-call printing services contract with Accurate Repro. Now, this vendor is responsible for publishing our specifications and construction plans in an online plan room that's available to all interested parties. The vendor is also required to print the construction plans upon request from the contracting community. The vendor currently provides copies of these plans to the advocacy agencies at the tollway's cost. The vendor also distributes any addenda to the plan holders. So we recently conducted an RFP for these services, but we only received one proposal. And unfortunately, that one proposal didn't score high enough to be considered for pricing. So we're currently redrafting the RFP, and we hope to reissue it in the near future. And we need this increase to this contract so we can continue advertising our construction projects. Otherwise, we may risk having construction delays early next spring. And again, since this is a sole economically feasible source amendment, a public hearing will take place in the near future. Award is recommended to Accurate Repro Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $240,000 for the remaining 8 months of this contract. Okay. So the last four items are pretty routine. The fourth item is a request to execute our fifth and final renewal of our automated vehicle locating AVL system services contract with Interfleet. This vendor hosts a web-based application for our AVL system that provides vehicle data in real time. Some of this data includes the vehicle's location, vehicle speed, idle time of our trucks, salt application rates, and roadway temperatures, to name a few. Award is recommended to Interfleet Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $145,000 for the final one-year renewal term. The fifth item is an award of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase